Well, Galatians chapter 5, we've been going here now for the last several weeks, and we have been in this series, The Fruit of the Spirit, and we've guided through all of them. Today, we'll conclude with the fruit of temperance and begin to learn about what is this characteristic or element of the fruit of the Spirit, and then how can we manifest that in our lives today. And I'm thankful for each and every lesson. If you missed any of them, they're online. Brother Sam's brought a great lesson on joy, and there's some great thoughts on there that'll be help to us. And we want to make sure that as Christians that our lives are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You'll know them by their fruit. And we want to make sure that as people watch us live, that it is evident that we're a child of God. This is a His Design Couples class, and I'm really excited about some of the new series in the new year regarding marriage and some of those things we're going to try to come along and strengthen. But you know, the very fact that we would have a spouse should dictate the way that we live our lives. It should be lived in a way that would evidence the fact that we're married. And if we're a married person and nobody knows it by the way we live, that's a problem. And if we're married, it should evidence that fact. If we're a parent, it should evidence that fact. And these relationships should literally affect the way we live our lives. Well, that should be true of no relationship greater than our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that we know Him as Savior, we are a Christian, an ambassador of Him, that should affect every area of our life. And these characteristics that we have been studying are helping us to understand what does that look like and how can we live that out in our lives today. And so we want to conclude that with this thought of the fruit of temperance, the fruit of temperance. Now, what's the importance of this and how can we develop it and carry it out in our lives? And I want us to jump right into the outline this morning and ask the Lord to use this study in our midst. First of all, let's look at temperance defined. When we say temperance, what are we talking about? I mean, we might think of tempered glass or, you know, something of this nature. What is temperance? What is God speaking to us here about? And there's a couple of different definitions that we could give. First of all, it could be discretion. Temperance could be defined as discretion or self-control. In fact, the dictionary defines it this way, as self-control or discretion. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." A person who's bearing the fruit of temperance, a temperate person, knows what is best and has the self-control to act on what is best and the knowledge to act on what is best. They have some discretion. They know how things ought to be and when they ought to be, and that is a fruit of temperance. God wants you and I to be temperate. He wants us to have some discretion. As you and I know the Lord, as we read His Word, as we come to church in class and we're learning the things of the Word of God and we're applying them to our lives, it should arm us with some discretion. There should be some mistakes we're not making because of what we're learning. There should be some things we're correcting because of what we're learning. I was shaking hands in the back and I was talking to some families and thinking, wow, 2015 has been a big year of growth for you. For some, this has been the year that you've been introduced to the Lord and to our church and class and so forth. And so it's been a year of great growth. And with that is going to come some discretion. I can more wisely make some right decisions. And so the fruit of temperance, and that would include discretion, but let her be discipline. Another definition of temperance, when we think of bearing the fruit of temperance, discretion and discipline. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, "Know ye that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now here the Apostle Paul is comparing the Christian life to an athlete who is preparing for a race, an Olympian, if you will, who's preparing to run for their country. And just like the life of an Olympian competitor, of an athlete of that nature, is characterized by discipline and self-control. Well, you read of some of these Olympic competitors and athletes, and some that from a very early age have adapted a regimen of getting up early and exercising and eating just a specific diet and getting their studies in and then more exercising and training. And I mean, their life is nothing but preparing for that moment of competition and the opportunity to win a medal for their country. Their life is very disciplined. It's very focused. They want to win. They want a medal. They want honor for their country. And everything about their life has to be in tune to see that accomplished. And the Apostle Paul is saying, just as one would run to obtain the crown and their life would be lived in pursuit of that, so the Christian should live a life of discretion and discipline. Now, I know this lesson is not very timely as we go into this week of Christmas, and I don't know what all you're going to eat or when you're going to get up or how it's all going to work, but we do want to make sure that as we look to 2016, while we might give some grace this week, that we're thinking, you know what, we want to bear the fruit of temperance. And we want a life where we have some discretion, we have some discipline, we have some focus, we have some goals in which we are trying to attain, and we recognize that without some discipline, we're not going to meet them. And I do want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks as we celebrate Christmas and the New Year, yes, enjoy the time off, and yes, maybe enjoy some R&R, and yes, enjoy certainly your family, but also take some time to redeem the time. And think about 2016 and think about some goals that the Lord might lay on your heart in the area of Bible reading or prayer or going out and witnessing and telling others about your faith or faithfulness in the house of God and applying the truths in which you're learning from the Word of God. And you want to make sure that as you think about what would the Lord have me to accomplish and what are some goals that He would have me to put into place, that I'm going to have some discipline and some self-control to accomplish these goals. And we have to have that in our life, and we have to bear the fruit of temperance. A secular humanist counselor had a ridiculous philosophy about discipline. In fact, many of them do when it is contrary to the Word of God. And this particular professor was from Cambridge, and his name was Coleridge. And he had a man to his home, and this particular man who was involved in the profession of counseling and the area of family did not believe in giving small children any instruction, whether it was about religion or things of this nature, that they basically should just be given the opportunity to kind of figure things out on their own and choose things for themselves and not be biased by any prejudice, but just be able to follow their own ideas and opinions and then to come to a conclusion at the age in which they could. Well, Coleridge was listening to this counselor and his philosophy, and he said nothing. And after a while, he invited his visitor to the backyard, and he wanted to show him his garden. They went out back, and he began to show him the garden area, and the man looked, and all he could find were weeds growing in that garden. And he looked at Coleridge, and he was somewhat surprised and perplexed, and he said, "What is this? This is not a garden. This is nothing but weeds." And he said, "Well, you see, I did not wish to infringe upon the liberty of the garden in any way. I just wanted to give the garden a chance to express itself and to bear whatever it wanted to do. And weeds is what it gave me." And you know, when you and I think about our own flesh, when we think about our children, when we think about the responsibility that we have before the Lord, God wants you and I to have temperance, some discretion, some discipline, some understanding of the Word of God, and then abiding by it, disciplining our lives according to it, and setting some direction and some goals in that way. If you and I don't have this fruit of temperance in our lives, then our lives are going to be a mess in our marriages and in our families and in the other important areas of our life. And we have to have discipline by grace, nurturing from the Holy Spirit of God, producing this fruit of temperance in our lives, giving us the balance and self-control that we need. So what is temperance? Discretion and discipline, I think we find in the Word of God. But then notice, secondly, temperance displayed. When somebody has this, what does it look like? What are some evidences of the fact that somebody has temperance in their life? And let's look at three key areas very quickly. First of all, they have a disciplined physical life. temperance is always manifested by a disciplined physical life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." A person who is filled with the Spirit of God has the power of God to say no to certain things. They know when something could bring ill will to them or their family or even their mental well-being or their physical well-being, and they will say no. And you can tell when somebody has the fruit of temperance when they're living a disciplined physical life. They're not allowing something into their life that is displeasing to the Lord. The story is told of Sandy McIntyre, who during the days of the Northern Ontario's gold rush found what is now a very famous mine bearing his name. But just days after discovering this gold mine, McIntyre sold the entire deed to the mine for $25 so that he could get his fix of liquor. A vein of gold was found shortly thereafter that produced in its lifetime over $230 million worth of gold. Now, while he sold short to fix an addiction in his life, he lost out on an incredible opportunity. And throughout history, there are people because of an addiction, maybe alcohol or lust or hatred or something of this nature, have done indescribable and unthinkable things because their flesh had control over their life and not their spirit. And may our His Design class be an environment of people in 2016 that are controlled by the Spirit of God, bearing the fruit of temperance, living a disciplined physical life, keeping anything out that's displeasing to the Lord, and striving to please God in every area. That certainly is evidence of a temperate life. They have a disciplined physical life. But secondly, they have a disciplined speech. Now, temperance is manifested by a disciplined speech, and those who are bearing this fruit, they know what to say and they know not what to say. They're careful in their speech. And let's quickly look at four areas that every Christian should avoid in their speech. First of all, lying. The Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Someone who's bearing the fruit of temperance and they have a balance and self-control and discipline, they're not sowing discord. They're not lying. They're not spreading gossip about people. They've disciplined their speech in this way. They're avoiding, secondly, foul language. The Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Boy, when somebody is learning of the Lord and His Word and applying that to their life, it begins to change the way they talk. I have no doubt in this room, even right now, that some people in this year of 2015 have begun to adapt a new vocabulary. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And now I'm not talking the way that I used to talk, and I'm not going to the places I used to go, because now I know the Lord, and the fact that I know Him is affecting every area of my life, and I'm doing my best to bear the fruit of temperance, and it's literally affecting what I say, avoiding lying and foul language. Thirdly, insults. The Bible says in Proverbs, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Boy, a person with temperance and a disciplined speech is not running around cutting everybody else down, is not looking to kind of bring themselves up by pointing out the faults in the lives of others, but rather their speech is disciplined. It's like our grandmothers used to tell us, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. And sometimes we've got to be reminded of lessons of this nature, and we have to strive to bear the fruit of temperance and to make sure that our speech is disciplined. And I would encourage you over the next couple of weeks as you celebrate Christmas and the new year, and you might be around some unsafe family, you might be around unsafe coworkers or friends at different parties and festivities and so forth. And I just want to encourage you, may your speech be evidence that you're a child of God. May it be temperate. May it be under control. And if we don't have something nice to say, we just won't say it. But if we can be someone who's spreading some positive words, then we want to be used in that way. So we want to avoid insult. Then we want to avoid slander. The Bible says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." God says if we're going to go around and we're going to slander people, God marks that man or woman as a fool. Now, God doesn't give a lot of hope for the fool in the book of Proverbs. And he says one of the characteristics of a fool is this person is just slandering other people. They're talking other people down. And this is something that we want to make sure our speech is disciplined and we're careful, not being known as the person who's just running their mouth, but being very guarded with what it is that we're saying. But then, thirdly, this is evidenced by disciplined thoughts. Now, temperance, as we see it displayed in life, comes through a thought pattern that is disciplined. Notice in 2 Corinthians, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the word imaginations is from the Greek word logos, which means thoughts or fantasies against the truth of Christ or the revealed word of God. So God is saying, listen, when you have a thought or a fantasy that is against the will or the word of God, you need to bring that into captivity. You need to make sure you're casting that down and getting it out of your life. Why? Because before a wrong decision is ever made, it is first formed in the heart. That's why God tells you and I in Proverbs 4:23, keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so we have to be careful what it is that is in our heart, because what we're thinking about, what we're fantasizing about, what's happening in our mind is soon going to be lived out in our life. And so this morning, if we're harboring bitterness towards somebody, if we're thinking the wrong kind of thoughts, you and I may begin to kind of rationalize and dismiss our sinful behavior because we have the wrong thought patterns. An act is always thought about before it is acted out and committed. And so this morning, we have to guard our heart. We have to bring those thoughts into captivity, and we have to be obedient to the will and to the word of God, the fruit of temperance, applying this discretion and discipline to our thoughts, to our speech, to our physical life. Boy, when somebody has that, they're bearing the fruit of temperance. And we need that, and we desire that this morning in our class. So how can we have it? Thirdly, and in closing, temperance developed. Now, I think sometimes we hear the word of God, and we know what is right, but there's another step in developing it. The Bible says in James, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's not just enough to hear it, but we have to apply it and to begin to live it out. So how can we do that? How can we leave this room with a pattern to develop temperance in our life? Some discipline and some discretion. A couple thoughts very quickly. Letter A, admit your weakness. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. Now there's a pattern here in this passage, and notice it quickly. First of all, you have the lust. That's the issue of the heart we just talked about a moment ago. Then this lust produces sin. Now that thought of the heart is carried out. Now it's become an action. And then death is the result, whether that's physical or emotional or spiritual. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so we have to recognize, where's my weakness? What am I thinking about? What am I harboring? What am I contemplating doing? What am I doing right now that is against God, that is leading me to death? Where is my weakness? An old TV show had a doctor who was confronted by a patient, and he came into his office there and he said, Doc, I broke my arm in two places. And the doctor looked at him and he said, well, you need to stay out of them places. And you know, there's some places you and I need to stay out of. And there's some places maybe in 2015 that we would have gone or been involved in that in 2016 we need to say, I'm not going there, or I'm not going to be associated with that group, or spend time with them anymore, because that's an area of weakness that I want to avoid in my life. But then, letter B, I've got to forget my past. The Bible says in Philippians, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I've got to admit, hey, I've got some areas of weaknesses and I've got to avoid those. Then I've got to forget my past. Listen, you and I may have some things we just have to put behind us. How many of us have maybe raised children that were going through the stages of learning to crawl and then walk, and none of us ever looked at our kids as they were trying to figure out a couple of steps at a time and said, man, they're just not getting the hang of it. I guess they're not meant to walk. No, they're going to walk eventually. They just kind of had to figure it out. They had to work through it. And some picked it up a little quicker, and some took a little longer, and some at different ages and stages and so forth. But eventually, barring some major medical problem, they all can walk today and thank the Lord for that. And God wants you and I to be an obedient Christian that's pleasing and honoring to Him. That's His plan for our life. It's not an impossibility. It's not something not intended for us. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, that's what He wants. We just have to have the help of His Spirit to get there. And at times it takes just forgetting the past and recognizing, listen, I've got some things in the past before I knew the Lord I'm not proud of and I regret, but now I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and this is the direction I'm living, and this is the direction we're going, and this is the direction our marriage is headed, and this is the direction our family is going, and that's what matters in 2016. Amen. The direction in which we're going, in the way that we desire to live and to please and honor the Lord. And we want to make sure we're going in the right direction. But then let us see, do not let your moods manipulate you. The Bible says in Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, we're either going to be controlled by the flesh or the spirit. And if our emotions begin to lead us down a path where we believe we're just destined for spiritual failure, or we're just not going to please and honor the Lord, then we've got to stop and ask ourselves, what are we being controlled by? And if you're being manipulated by your own mood or thoughts or desires of bitterness or depression or discouragement, then you just need to stop and say, hey, I'm not going to be manipulated by this anymore. He that is in me is greater than he is in the world. I serve a God who can do all things, and God can give me victory. And I can live in a way that pleases and honor Him. I can live topside. I can smile every day that God gives me breath. I can be thankful for my spouse. I can be thankful for my family. I can be thankful for the goodness of God. I don't have to live under a cloud in 2016. With God's help and the filling of His Spirit and obedient to His Spirit, I can live with some temperance in my life. Some discretion, some discipline that's happening. But then letter D, believe that God can bring the change. And you may be here this morning and thinking, boy, Brother Roel, you don't know all that I'm facing and how difficult it would be. You've got to believe that God can do it. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And we want to make sure that we believe that indeed God can. Why? Because our beliefs determine our behavior. And I want to encourage you, don't set your goals too low. In 2016, believe that God can, and set them high, and trust in Him, and know that He desires to work in your life. You and I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. And then letter E, a practical thought, become accountable. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. If you and I want to be temperate in a certain area, if we have something we truly want victory over in the new year, then let's set a goal, but let's become accountable, and let's go to somebody who has victory in that area, or has been through that, or who is living for the Lord in a way that's honoring to Him, and let's ask them for some help and some accountability. Now, we don't want to go to somebody who's weaker in the Lord than you and I. We don't want to go to somebody with something we shouldn't take to somebody else. We don't want some men in this class going to other ladies in the class and telling them about the problems he's having with his wife. We want to have some discretion and discernment about who it is we're going to, but it would be wonderful to have some men saying, hey, let's be some accountability partners in the new year, and some ladies saying, let's be some accountability partners in the new year, and let's not just have another new year and another New Year's resolution and another set of goals that by February they're long gone and nothing is happening. Let's make 2016 different. Let's get some accountability. Let's make this thing happen with the Lord's help. We want to make sure that we're encouraging that in our lives. And then letter F, we need to avoid temptation. Be angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Somebody said, when you flee temptation, be sure you don't leave your forwarding address. And we need to make sure we're avoiding temptation. We know that the devil cannot take away our salvation. We know that that is secure in God, but he certainly can take away our testimony. And we want to make sure we're going to do everything we can that our testimony for God stands in the new year. And we want to avoid temptation and be careful about some places we should not go, some people maybe we should not be with. And then we need to depend on God's power. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I encourage you, class? Let's not just try in 2016. Let's trust. Let's trust. Let's trust in God. Let's trust that God can. Let's trust that God is able. Let's trust that God is willing. Let's trust that God desires to do it. He's just looking for some people who will let him work. And may you and I bear the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, some discretion and discipline. May it be seen in our physical life, our speech, our thoughts. And let's follow this pattern these next couple weeks preparing for the new year. Lord, help my life to evidence a relationship with you like it never has before in the new year. Help me to set some goals and then build some parameters so that they'll be kept in a very special way. I'm going to ask Brother Sam's to come to close our class today in a word of prayer. My wife and I have got a gift for you in the back. If you're able to come to the lobby, we'd love to shake your hand there. Brother Sam's, I'd ask that you pray that the Lord would help us as a class to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to have a good holiday season, and then be back faithful on January 3rd, and the Lord use us in a special way in the new year.
Lord, we do thank you and praise you for the lesson that we've learned this morning and also the lessons on the fruit of the Spirit. And we're so thankful that your Holy Spirit gives us the power and the ability to be transformed and to implement new and better ways to live our lives. So I pray that you'll empower us. I pray that we'll have a great season focused upon you. I pray as we come back in the new year, and I pray as we come into Vision Sunday that you'll inspire us and help us to catch the heart and the vision of you through our preacher. And I pray that we'll be on board in 2016. I pray that every family will have the best year spiritually we've ever had. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey.